Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Someone was asking about cancer, spreadable cancer, transmissible cancer, and I said there is no such thing. First name, last name was asking about this. I mean, there is the virus in humans that can, there's an STD in human that can cause a cancer very often on the female side. But it's not transmissible cancer. The cancer is born from the cells of the female side. Then there's cases of organ transplant where the host person is getting medicated to not reject the organ transplant, but the medication neutralizes ability to fight a cancer that was present in the organ. So you have these cases, but they are in very exceptional circumstances or under medication that are shutting down your immune system. But first name, last name then informed me about something I didn't know. Canine transmissible venereal tumors. I didn't know about this. Canine transmissible venereal tumor. So dogs apparently have this where they have sex with another dog and the cancer cells of the other dog can live inside the sexual organ of the other dog. That's, they get transmitted and they have a separate genome. They don't have the genome of the dog host. They have the genome of the dog he's had sex with. I didn't know that that was possible, but apparently this doesn't happen in humans. It's a, I guess you can see a cancer cell that detaches from you and go lives into another person. You can see this as a virus in and of itself. You can even think of it as a virus that was hiding in your genome. There may be intergenerational evolution applying to this part of the genome where the virus is latent. It encodes the capacity of certain cells to become cancerous. And it's subject to some degree of selection. And the more the cancer becomes transmissible, the more it's more like virus-like, and the better it becomes at becoming an infectious agent. The way you would have evolution is if the target animal, if the host animal that receives the transmissible cancer, if there's an integration to his genome, then you would have a route for evolution to happen. And you could think of these transmissible cancers as just viruses that happen to live as full cells, full cancerous cells. Jan has sent two super chat. Thank you so much for the generous support. He says, woman and tattoos, projection, they like tattooed bad guys and stupidly believe it works the other way too. Do they use tattoos in the intra-female social hierarchy? Tattoos of a female universally lower their value in my eyes. Guys that say they like tattoos likely like to get laid. I agree with a lot of this. First, I've noticed something with females with tattoos. They tend to be more masculine, more tough. They tend to want to display an image of toughness, an image of being with the boys, kind of. Especially those who have who display their tattoo. You know, those who have tattoos on their arms, on their face. They're really boyish. And even if they can be super beautiful and thin, but they will be boyish in their attitude and they will be very sexually promiscuous, a little bit like a man could be or should be. So that's the first thing I noticed. Yes, it makes them more ugly. I don't know of a single tattoo in the world that that makes a woman more beautiful. I've never seen this. So systematically, all tattoos uglify women. And I think it's part of the point. I think that the mentality that leads women to acquire a tattoo is partly copying the male behavior, partly tribe signaling. I believe that what a tattoo signals ultimately is, as Eminem says it in 8 Mile, you don't know what the fuck I've gone through. And that is what a tattoo often means. You will, if you ask for the narrative of why did you get a tattoo, it will very often be to mark an important life event. It is kind of to display, I've gone through some shit, bro. That kind of stuff is one of the motivating factors. And so I think that it's a display of experience, a display. And of course, experience is ugly for a woman. I've gone through some shit is a red flag. So that's why tattoos are a red flag. And that's why they also make women ugly, because what is the interest of a woman? It's a woman who is young, shapeable, who can be made into the ideal woman by the proper guidance of a man. But having tattoos is exactly the opposite of this. So I don't get the trend. But it's I think it's kind of a broken mind that reaches this conclusion of I'm going to uglify myself as a display to all that, you know, I'm self-destructive and I care more about marking this event in my life than my future. So it's kind of an abandonment of hope. It's a black pilling that leads, it's a woman black pilling that leads to tattoos. Now, you say guys that say they like tattoos likely lie to get laid. Yeah, these guys who like tattoos, it's like, oh yeah, I like going out with women with borderline personality disorder. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, I like women with tattoos. Oh, okay. You are self-destructive too. Like you are looking for a woman who's as fucked up in the head as you are, because tattoos are ugly on a woman. And the only possible indicator of a tattoo is mental disorder and some kind of instability, problem with self-appreciation, or having gone through tough events, all of which are undesirable. And then says, girls that look good with tattoos would look better, way better without. Exactly. And I think that there is also a sort of female who are kind of tired of being beautiful. I think that there is some of it. Some females are just annoyed at being beautiful. As they, I don't know where the sentence comes from, but there's a sentence circulating. I've seen this on social media recently. Her beauty was her curse. And I believe that some women, they are uncomfortable with the idea of being an object of desire. And they kind of were beautiful by accident. And they kind of feel that they are trapped in a beautiful woman's body. And that's where you get this whole, well, part of it is narcissistic, but you get this whole trend of women rejecting catcalling and complaining about how many guys are looking at them in the gym. Now, this part is a little bit narcissistic, but this desire of being withdrawn from the marketplace of sexual attraction is also something that is very prominent in women who get tattoos. They don't want to be the Barbie. They want to be kind of with the boys club, within the boys club. Oh, you're a woman, but you're cool. Oh, you're a woman, but you like motorcycles and risks. Wow, you're like a guy. Wow, we can connect. You can hear that kind of stuff. It's always ugly, and there's no reason why anyone would want a tattoo other than some degree of self-destruction. DK Shadow says, CRP was right about tattoos. Even a small one is a red flag. Yeah, I remember CRP saying this. Jan sends $25. He says, I love how it will be hard to push altcoins and scams in the coming BTC bull run because of how FTX and Celsius will be fresh in people's memory. Do you have any prediction for what the main story will be this time around? I haven't heard a new buzzword like blockchain or NFTs appear yet. No, I think that we are back to a BTC-centric discourse. It's going to change. You're going to have waves of excitation. I have zero idea of how it's going to look for the altcoin domain. I have no clue. I know that there will be something like an outflow to altcoins. It's a mathematical certainty. It's just a matter of the flow. The flow of money is from the traditional system into Bitcoin. But then when Bitcoin reaches a point that people judge is its peak, then people, instead of going back to traditional finance, they're going deeper. They're going into ETH, and then you have the alt season starting. And then they're like, oh, well, let's get a late speculation on Pepe or on whatever crap coin comes out. And so you're going to have the same story here. Predicting which are the altcoins that are going to perform well, there's two questions, and I don't know the answer to this. Will the past altcoin have second lives? And which of the past altcoins will have? Because you're into these very mimetic coins, Doge has shown that you can have multiple waves of mimetics re-rising. So a Doge is kind of the safe value of crap coins. It's hurtful. It hurts my heart to say safe value with Doge, but it's kind of the safe mimetics. Pulse chain will pulse chain work? I know that there will be certainly lots of success in alternative Ethereum chains. Polygon, Arbitrum. There will be lots of success down this line, but to tell you this coin or this coin, I can't tell you. But I know that there is lots of demand for more productive chains, blockchains on which you can operate faster transfers, cheaper transfers, and cheaper smart contract execution. Because the smart contract execution of ETH is just not viable. It's a brilliant idea. But it's just, at the cost level, it's not viable. I cannot charge $150 per contract interaction to a user for doing something in a game or for transferring from one asset to another. So, and it keeps happening again and again that we reach peaks within crazy bull runs where the ETH costs are massive. For now, they're good. They're okay. But they're still too big for smart contract practical use. So there is lots of demand for a competing perfect clone of ETH, but that just does things faster. And the competition is still up in this field. I believe that if you want to know one of the big trends going forward for the next 10 years, it's going to be who wins the race of being the alt ETH. The ETH chain where it is possible to do everything at very, very cheap cost. BSC had been playing that role extremely well, but BSC is good for transfer. The smart contract are starting to be costly. And I think that everyone has it on their mind that there must be something better than BSC. And the very low-cost chains like Polygon, Arbitrum have shown up. They haven't delivered amazing things yet, but they have delivered certainly the proper locking of coins and some degree of low-cost interaction. Sometimes there's always a trade-off and a sacrifice. Are your interactions truly on the blockchain, or are they made through some layer 2 scheme which complexifies things from a development perspective? But the big question of the next 10 years to me, if you want to multiply an investment by more than what Bitcoin gives you, but it's a risky one, it's a very risky path, because you could pour all of your money into Matic and the Polygon chain could not be the winner of this competition. So in general, Bitcoin remains to me the serious investment to make. And as far as a coin in which I've invested, which I highly recommend that you consider this coin as having potential, but it's not as much as Bitcoin. But if you want to take risks on a coin that has finite supply, the Pyr token, PYR, is what I invested in. And I've been already in profit because I came in at $4. And now where's the Pyr token at? It's now at $7. I don't know if I've come in at $4 or $3, but I've made close to a 2x, close to a 2x already. Yeah, probably $4. So that is the reason I went into it is it's had previous big success rising to $50, $60 coin. And now we are in a second bull run, and it has kept a community of people interested in this token because it's a token that's related to in-game purchases of some kind in an alternate universe that I don't know anything about. But I know there's tens of thousands of players interested in this. So I think that if an altcoin has a chance to really pop out and benefit from the second wave of capital flows into Bitcoin, ETH, and then this, it's something like the Pyr token, in my view. Barnaby Buto says they will be hyped for their shitcoin to reach 0.01 cent, even if it means a MC that represents multiple times the total amount of money in the world. Market cap. Yeah, I mean, shitcoins are shitcoins, and there's a reason why we call them shitcoins. It's to warn you that you're throwing your money out the window and it's a high-risk thing. and Pyr is not an exception. It's a shitcoin like all others except Bitcoin. Doubting Thomas says, JF, the general wisdom is that most seasonal or predictable behavior of a stock are typically built into the price, making it difficult to profit of. Why does this not seem to be the case for Bitcoin? Well, yeah, and it just doesn't apply to Bitcoin. And here's why. There's a couple of reasons. First, the Bitcoin market is a true free market. There are millions of ways, literally millions of ways in which you can buy Bitcoin. You can go see someone who has Bitcoin. You can go see someone else. You can go see a third person. The Bitcoin flow is uncontrollable by a central entity. Whereas in the traditional finance, it's all controlled by a handful of exchanges, sometimes one exchange for a given stock. So the centralization of the control is already extremely spread out. So spread out also means unpredictable and accessible. I don't know how I would buy an Apple stock. I have no clue. I have zero clue how to buy an Apple stock. And yet I can give you 10 different ways in which I can buy Bitcoin. So already you have these independent agents buying Bitcoin. You don't know where they're coming from, and they can come from all directions, and they're not registered in any way. So, you know, in official trading, you sometimes have these registries where people are putting in their orders, and the orders are actually giving some measure of the true demand for a stock. In Bitcoin, I don't know that Jim Bob out there wants to buy 10 Bitcoin this morning, and he hasn't registered his request on any exchange. He's just going to click on buy. So there's just way too many direct ways in which people can change the flow of Bitcoin in ways that central entities cannot predict or expect. The second reason is that Bitcoin is uncharted territory. We have never tried this. It's so far from anything we've ever tried. A stock is a stock, and there's been companies before. If I go and I check the top companies of the 80s in the stock market, I'll see 10 different names that have nothing to do with the 10 top companies of the year 2024. That tells you there's a rotation. There's a story. People know that story. And it's been tried again and again to build a company. That company has a certain number of inputs of money. It has revenue. And there are already mathematicians every day calculating what the stock value should be. What's a reasonable stock value given the assets, given the revenue, given the expenses? So basically, it's all constrained mathematically, the stock market. We've already seen this, and we're just doing it again. Bitcoin, we've never seen this, and we're not doing it again. Bitcoin is a unique creature in that it is a finite entity, whereas in the stock market, it's not finite. Even if a given stock is finite at a moment in time, the company can print more of the shares. And also, you can have other companies rising and taking their place. So you have potentially an infinity of shares to buy throughout human history. You don't have an infinity of Bitcoin. It's the first time that an asset is truly finite on planet Earth, and that it directs the whole flow of money of the entire world, entirety of human civilization, all converging toward buying this one asset. There's nothing like this. The Apple stock, well, okay, I'm technologically enthusiast, and I'm an American, and I believe that Apple has the good strategy to import materials from China and address the needs of the American customer for the next 7 years. Bitcoin is the only thing that speaks to me equally as it stands, as it speaks to a Kenyan person who finds himself in Kenya and somehow needs to transfer 0.00005 Bitcoin to someone else because he's buying a pot of water. Bitcoin is the only thing that solves my problem, and it solves his problem. You know, there may be a way in which I'm interested in the Apple stock. There's no way in which he's interested in the Apple stock. So the span of, let's take all of these things and center them into a finite number, 21 million Bitcoin. We've never tried anything like this. And so that's why, because you can't predict, no one knows what will be the top of this bull run. And people know what will be the top of Apple, what will be the top of Tesla. They may be wrong by a margin of error. There may be things they haven't accounted for. But the math for calculating how much income a company makes and therefore how much its share value should be is straightforward. People know in advance where it will top, where it should top, where it should bottom. Barnaby Buteau says, what people need to realize is that today we still speak in terms of Bitcoin, but in the future, people will only be able to talk in terms of sats. We are still early. Yes. One day it will be the sat unit, but on this day, we can own a full Bitcoin. And that's a good moment to be alive. Film says, have you ever been in a fist fight? No, never been in a fist fight. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, I'm literally drawing lines on TradingView right now, trying different things to work out the top. Lol. Yeah, but try your lines. Let me tell you. Suppose we are in a year from now, we're at 180K. I guarantee you, there's not a single human on Earth who's capable of hitting the sell button without having a supplementary heartbeat. Because I know that you don't know. I know that no one knows. Everyone who sells, at no matter how much the value is, they will at all experience a heartbreak that it might still go up even more. So, don't tell me that you're I know these trading view graphs and the lines that you can draw on them, but it's not, you're not going to convince me that you have great confidence, because I know that if you were at the, what you think is the top, and you were to click on sell, I know how you will feel in that moment. You will feel, what if it keeps going up? And that's because you don't know, and I don't know, and no one does. Frog Eyes says, the ledger is public too, so you can get a pretty good idea of what big custodians like exchanges are holding in BTC reserves. So again, it helps mitigate them from papering over the supply or playing too many shell games. You could view it as part of an ongoing supply squeeze. BTC gets bought and hoarded. Most of the BTC supply is already mined. Much of it has been lost. Remaining BTC emission rate is tapering off. It halves every 4 years. Scarcity is really there. It's hard to paper over BTC market when people can so easily purchase and withdraw. Exactly. Too complex, too many flows of capital, unpredictable, true freedom. And all of these centralized stock markets, they are really addressed to institutions. And the whole idea of people owning this in an unmanaged way is still a minor thing. It's still the vast majority. It is managed funds that are pooling their money into the economy. Bitcoin is different. Bitcoin is for everyone. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, when companies like PayPal and Buy Me a Coffee ban people like Keith Woods, do the companies keep the earnings? How are these companies viewed as moral arbiters? Well, the thing is, by law, they are not entitled to keep the earnings, but they sometimes do. Because sometimes the hate speech woman at the Department of Safety convinces her boss that her salary should be paid by stealing to the people she bans. And this is what happened to me on YouTube. When I got demonetized on YouTube, they ran away with $5,000 of the money that was due to me by super chats. They still owe me this. So that's the parasitic nature of leftism. They go into a company, they destroy the base business of this company by excluding people like me, and they live off my money. They live off what my creativity led me to acquire. So it's destructive in all sorts of ways, because YouTube is getting that 5,000, but they're never getting any more of my audience, any more dollars from me. So they are stealing, but it's their last theft when they do this. So that's why these Department of Safety and Trust are unsustainable. They are penetrated by leftists. They impede on the base business of the corporation. They destroy creativity, and ultimately they create resentment. There's lots of resentment about YouTube. You know, if YouTube was to fall in 5 years from now, there would be fireworks blowing onto the internet. People would be like, yeah, you go in the shit, you motherfuckers. And I would be the first celebrating. So you cannot turn against full bases of potential customers on the internet like this that end up hating you. People are going to cheer for your destruction, and they might even be able to meme it into existence at some point. She's like kryptonite for sexist podcast bros. Let's see. This woman appears to be now a Destiny clone, a Destiny female, dressed as a porn actress, but making Destiny blabbering types of discourse. You know, she keeps talking super fast and trying to drop multiple arguments at the same time. Gish galloping is what we usually call it.
Ton of marriages in which women are also working and then also shoring up a lion's share of the household duties. Yeah. And that's why they're unhappy, because now they're being burdened in two directions. But- there's a ton of marriages in which women are also working and then also shoring up a lion's share of the household duties. Yeah. And that's why they're unhappy, because now they're being burdened in two directions.
But so,
well, okay. But that means you are living an unsustainable life. That means you have to get out of wherever you live. It's too high price. You have to live in a less costly area. Or you have to stop being dependent on a rent. But if you cannot live on the salary of your husband, you are living above your means.
So what's the solution to that?
Men showing up more on domestic duties, but they won't because of freaking tradcons and neocons who are telling them that it's gay and beta if they do these.
So the solution to women being unhappy is men making more house chores. That is absolutely ridiculous. First, I don't even know that it is... I don't even know that that women are more happy that their men do more house chores. Women are happy when their men do construction chores of the kind that they cannot do. But if I start washing dishes and talking interior decoration to my girlfriend, I think I may turn her off sexually. So first, to do gay stuff and feminine stuff is not the solution. It doesn't make women more happy. And there's something in the genes of women that will trigger and that will say, okay, this person is, my boyfriend is a cock. Frog Eyes says, I'm a pretty tradcon Chad husband and I hold down most of the home chores and housework, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, I believe that the man has an equal role in house chores, but it's a different role. As a man, you need to do the stuff that your wife can't do. And so that is plumbing, electricity, reframing the house, destroying walls, installing tiles, installing new windows. Those are the things you need to do with power tools, everything that requires a power tool. All of this is important, but I have the impression it's not what she's talking about. She wants men to wash her dishes so that she can go to work. The second thing I was pointing out in my tweet is sending men to... Well, let's listen to the rest.
These certain tasks.
It is gay and beta most of the time, I agree.
And I also think that's why men are suffering. So for instance, like the unemployment rate of men returning back to the workforce is very, very high right now. And that's because meninists are kind of pushing for this like revanchist return to just like older times. And even though you claim you're not trying to turn the clock back, a lot of the solutions that meninists are advocating for just won't help men, because the burgeoning sectors right now are overly feminized. It's stuff like nursing, childcare, hospitality. And these industries are actually reaching out to men and they're trying to recruit them, but a lot of men will turn them down. And instead they're sitting on their ass, they're addicted to opiates. Like over half of unemployed men are addicted to some sort of painkiller. They're playing video games all day. To porn, which is yes one problem, but there's so many others. And feminism is what's telling men, like, leave your toxic masculinity behind, join a nursing career, join a teaching career, but they won't do it because of tradcons and neocons telling them that they're gay and beta.
Where she's sending men, yes, talk slower, bitch, says Frederick. Yes, it's so annoying. It's like I always take my time in debates. How is it that I can run a full 1 hour debate with sometimes very impolite opponents? And I can talk three times slower than this woman. How is it that I can still pass as intelligent doing this? It's because they are not intelligent. They are trying to pack in as much talking points into as little time as possible because they don't really have important things to say. Sending men to nursing and teaching career is sending them on the path that leads women to be incapable of paying the mortgage. That is sending them on a path of slavery toward a system of employment in which they will lose their life working hard but not making enough money to have a house, to take care of a woman. So all that she has named here, childcare, nurse, teacher, are all unsustainable forms of employment that are meant for women who make poor decision-making in their life, who are incapable of implementing economic rationality, who get employed and they think, oh, well, it's a job. It must pay enough to live, right? No, it's trap jobs that you have here. First, the people who pay you are on debt. The people who pay these jobs are mostly governments. And they're stealing money from the part of your salary is stolen money from tax. And the other part is per debt that they invent out of nothing. So you're not in a sustainable system. And inevitably, the system converges toward your house prices, your inflation are rising faster than your salary. And at the end of 20 years of this career, you haven't been able to truly care for your woman. You've been paying much of what you earned in taxes, and you haven't been able to accumulate and make money to the point of buying a house. So the reason men are home is much better explained by this man, which I'm starting to be a big fan of, the involuntary celibate, Incelsco on Twitter. No pussy, no work. Why would men work? It's like they would work at a job that's what, 40,000, 60,000, 70,000 if they're lucky, and as a nurse, as a teacher, or as anything you just listed. They're going to be laughed at by women like you. They're going to be laughed at by women who display their cleavage like you do. Because women who display their cleavage like this will tell you, if you make below $1 million a year, I'm not interested in you. So she's being deceptive here. She's sending men down the grinder. Because she's sending men down the line where they cannot get a woman like this. In fact, a teacher, I don't know that you can get a woman at all at this point in leftist places being a low salary teacher. So she probably knows what she's doing because she is a public figure. So I suppose that she knows about business, that she knows that work in our society is systematically punished with tax rates. Because all of the money you make is all on the record and it all ends up in the highest tax bracket possible. Whereas if you start being self-employed, you can include expenses and you can save on taxes. Investment money is also a way to save on taxes. You do go to work, you get some seed money and you invest it in something viable like Bitcoin. And then your income is 50% less taxed than work. Those are the only way you're ever going to be rich enough to beat the system. Otherwise, the system is built for you never to be able to pay for your house, to be flooded by bills and tax bills and electricity and internet bills so that you're just keeping afloat and eventually they take your house from you when they want. What you're sending men down the line to is exactly where female leftists want them. Which I want you to work at an official place to be paid a low salary so that I can chip from it when I divorce you, so that I can get a judge to seize it for me, so I get some sort of child custody. It's disgusting. If she was honest, she would tell men, do like me, become something that is on the free market, that is self-employed, and that can save on taxes and invest money on clever projects or worthwhile endeavors. Those are the only way you get rich. The reason men are not going back to work is it's not worth it anyways. The social welfare system are developing such that it's barely viable to need a, you need a car, you get to your job physically, you have to spend gas, spend insurance, spend risks of travel. You have to spend daycare money to get your children in the daycare, and you have nothing left from your paycheck.
If they do these kind of like unwarrior-like positions.
But I do think that it's not just a matter of social construction. I think women are more nurturing.
The nursing programs and teaching programs have like put out...
This whole women are more nurturing. Someone was pointing out on Twitter, they're not more nurturing. Sometimes it's more their role, but they're not naturally more nurturing. They are much more likely to be murderers of a baby. There's barely any man that kills babies. And if a baby is dead, you can almost be certain that it's a woman who killed it. So no, they are not more nurturing on average. It may be more often their role to be nurturing.
Research of why men won't join these industries despite them reaching out. And one of the biggest reasons is because they feel like it's overly feminine. Do you think that's due to liberal?
Well, it's overly feminine. I don't want to be working as a nurse. Not because I wouldn't enjoy the work, you know, lifting people, checking their heart rate. I could do this. But I don't want to be in a world in which I'm surrounded by women. I cannot operate on a workplace where there's, in fact, a single woman. So I'm not going to go into teaching or daycare to hear the snarky judgment of a black woman who's empowered and who's had her position through favorable employment opportunities judge the way I handle things. It's unviable. I cannot accept a single person like this in my work environment, which is why with time across the decades, I've converged toward being alone in my studio because it's the only job I'll do. And coding is fine because, you know, computer programming is fine because there's no woman at the end. Like, if your code is going to get reviewed, it's going to get reviewed by a man. If your product at the end is getting consumed or reviewed, it's going to be consumed or reviewed by a man. I've went as far as possible from interacting on the workplace with women because they are too irrational, they are not efficient, and they are too social creatures. So it's not interesting for me. But she doesn't consider this. She thinks it's because of the obligation to be masculine that people feel.
And one of the biggest reasons is because they feel like it's overly feminine. Do you think that's due to liberal feminism or due to conservatism?
It's neither due to conservatism or liberal feminism. It's due to women being annoying for men. This is what you have to understand. Injuring the female cognition, just injuring you speak like this at this rate, is fucking annoying for most men. Most men are incapable of enduring this, and if they do, you're going to have to pay a premium. And none of these jobs pay premiums. John says, aren't the stats about women killing babies just because of proximity? Imagine you put 10,000 babies in the care of single ghetto males. A lot of them would end up dead. It's a good question. You know, knowing what these cases are, they are cases of basically schizophrenic mothers or schizophrenic stepmothers. And they end up having some crazy idea that they have to kill the baby because God or whatever. I don't know if the proximity is that important in those cases. We'd have to experimentally verify this, perhaps. It's a good question. If men were more around babies, would there be more fathericide or patricide? Maybe. Yeah, possible.
No, I think it's just natural. I think the men should work, you know, but they should maybe do things that they're more inclined to do. I don't think we need to conscript men to go become nurses wearing frilly little dresses.
And why do you see that as putting on a frilly dress to go into like nursing and hospitality?
Because you're presupposing
that it's feminine and gay. You're doing the thing.
Well, it's feminine and gay because you're surrounded by women. You are judged from the objective criteria of woman, which is capacity to care, capacity to empathize, and capacity to do stuff in a way that pleases the client, the patient. And it's also gay because you are enslaving yourself to a job that doesn't pay enough, that doesn't pay enough to buy a house these days. So that's why it's gay. He did the thing, JF. Yeah. He did the thing of saying, it's kind of gay, and why would you want them to put on little dress? Well, I think everyone knows that nurses, male nurses, don't have to wear dress. They have these little blue pants, you know, and they also have their kind of fireman looking official clothes when they go outside. Yeah, but I don't think it's about the dress. It's about the submissiveness of the position for meager salaries that, as long as you can't pay a house, as far as I'm concerned, the dream, the American dream is dead. And most normies are being sent down a terrible path here. It's going to be terrible in the future. We're going to have to deal with the cubification of normies. They will be enclosed in smaller and smaller cubes. They will be living in cities where they can only afford these cubicles. There will be a lot of home repossessions, and you know, they're going to call it, mediatically, they're going to call it a depression. We have an economic depression. Oh, we have home repossessions here. But really, it's a system designed for you to fail. Whereas the boomers got a whole system in which, oh yeah, if you work, if you just work hard, you're going to get a house. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, are you familiar with polar body twinning? The concept is a bit hard to understand. Why is it only a hypothetical type of twinning? Is it just very difficult to observe experimentally? Polar body twinning. I have no idea what that is. Polar body twins are a rare type of twinning. If you have twins, are a twin or no twins, the overwhelming likelihood is that they belong to one of two main types, monozygotic or dizygotic. But there are other types of twins that occur very rarely. Then there's a type of twinning known as polar body twinning, which is only theoretical with no confirmed cases. Okay, I haven't read anything about this. I didn't know about this, but I will assume that this is, imagine that you have the little body of the little baby developing, but somehow the cells at the feet, they kind of lose contact with the cells at the head. And, you know, there's no head yet. There's no feet yet. But you could have, as the little zygote develops, it's like a millimeter big. And then you could have a little cell that goes here and that says, hey, I'm a feet cell. And yet I can't find the head cell. Let's make a head. And then you have the cells on the other side who say, hey, I'm a head cell. And I'm not seeing a feet cell anywhere. So let's make some feet. And you end up having two babies, basically, that are developing instead of one in the polar axis of the body. That's my bet. How polar body twins happen. The ova, the female sex cell, undergoes a process of division called meiosis to reproduce. The process produces four haploid cells, each with half a set of chromosomes. One of the four is the egg cell, while the other three are called polar bodies. Oh, okay, it's not at all what I hypothesized. Usually, only the oocyte is available for fertilization, while the polar bodies fade away. But following the theory of polar body twinning, both the oocyte and a polar body would somehow become fertilized and develop, resulting in twins. Yeah, so this touches on the history, the evolutionary history of meiosis, which, by the way, I have a theory for in The Revolutionary Phenotype. Chapter 11 of The Revolutionary Phenotype is called Sex, and it's my theory of meiosis. Whether my theory is true or not, the fact is meiosis is a fascinating life cycle aspect of eukaryotes. In which, so that includes all plants, all animals, all mushrooms, and some unicellular organisms. When you engage in sex, you have a cell that has two copies of the genome. We call it a diploid cell. It splits in two. So now you have two cells. And in fact, before the splitting, it copies. So the whole result of the process is you have four cells, and you have three of them that get thrown to the trash. And in our evolutionary past, long, long ago, maybe 2 or 3 billion years ago, we had a state that was called, I believe, anisotropy in the cell division of meiosis, which means basically the sperm looks like the egg. There was no differentiation. The system for sexual selection had not evolved very much. We were a little single cell organism back then. And at this time, the polar bodies probably weren't polar bodies. They weren't thrown to the trash. They were just an alternative egg or an alternative sperm. And so you would have, it must be the case that at the beginning of sex, of the invention of sex in our evolution, these things that were thrown away today as polar bodies were probably valid gametes, as valid as the other, that there was no difference. Eventually, somehow, the system converged towards saying, three of you I discard, and I keep only one of you because I want to invest a lot. And that's probably how the egg became bigger and bigger. And, you know, because you want to invest a lot of energy in one valid egg, you discard the three others. But actually, in our past, you could very well see the second polar body as not discardable, but as a valid second egg. The third polar and the fourth polar bodies as not discardable, but alternative sperms. So a single organism could have developed the equivalent of an egg, of two eggs, and the equivalent of two sperms on a single cycle of meiosis. So what you mentioned here, the possibility that, the theoretical possibility that you could have twins is not impossible in principle, but I believe we have evolved for millions of years so far from this that it may be practically impossible. It may be that our genes have left no chance at all, because our genes are totally assuming that this is a defect, that these are defective cells that must be rejected. If we were maybe an amphibian, or if we were maybe a unicellular organism, there's more chance in a less evolved system that you will reconnect with a functionality that was not so distant from your evolutionary history. So for humans, I would say polar body twinning, forget about it. Too evolved, too specialized. We have grown the eggs too much. We have grown the sperm too much. We have over-specialized such that the polar body will be assumed to be throwable. But I wouldn't be surprised if you go in anisotropic life forms that are, or mushrooms that are still having many various life stages of haploid and diploid, you would have more chance to resurrect some kind of a polar body twin. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised it's going on in nature. I would have to, it probably wouldn't get called polar body twinning. It probably would just get called a mushroom making mushroom babies and making hundreds of them. But it would be effectively effectively an inclusion of the polar body in the life cycle of the creature. New Guy says, but laundry will self-fold in the dryer in an infinite universe. So there is hope. The day the laundry self-folds in the dryer, I believe in human polar body twins. But
day in the life of a single woman who doesn't believe in marriage or want children. I spent most of my adult life in a long-term partnership that was safe and comfortable, but deep.
When they say safe and comfortable, when they live in a skyscraper,
down, I was starving for emotional connection. For years, I ignored my gut.
Emotional connection. Not that it's bad. Emotional connection is good, but if you talk about it like this, it indicates pathology.
feeling that I was deeply unhappy and hoped it would somehow magically get better. At the time, I couldn't fathom being happily single because I didn't even know it was a possibility. I'd never seen it represented before, not in the movies or shows that I watched.
She's Marxist, so she talks about representation. And so it's like, oh yeah, we are the product of our culture. And so I got influenced by the culture I was in.
Or the stories I read, and most women I knew were either in a relationship or wanted one. Leaving was incredibly scary, but there was not a single...
What the fuck is this potion? Some sort of organic milk, almond... Ugh! Brewed almond, whatever crap with organic... Ah! And then real maple syrup. Well, that's okay. Holy fucking hell. Ugh!
Movies or shows that I watched or the stories I read, and most women I knew were either in a relationship or wanted one. Leaving was incredibly scary.
If you have to put that much maple syrup, your base drink isn't good.
But there was not a single morsel of regret once I finally ripped the band-aid off. Now I wake up every single day with immense gratitude that I'm no longer desperately trying to force an intimate connection with someone who can't reciprocate. Doesn't mean that I don't want to be in a partnership ever again, but I have zero desire to have children, so I'm comfortable waiting it out. In the current political and...
See, the normies are getting cubicized. They're getting put in these little cubes right here. And it's like, yeah, you're not going to have children. You're really just a dead end of evolution, a dead end of a dead branch that's just waiting to dry. Well, you know, hopefully you feel good as part of this process. The ultimate cuck story, the story of Navalny, who became a beta slave for American military interest, and look at how it ends. He died yesterday, but his wife, who's always speaking for him publicly because he was in prison, she has another boyfriend. Someone was joking, a public statement by her, me and my new boyfriend are devastated by my husband's death. Yulia Borisova Navalnaya. Well, my God. Poor guy, you cuck to the American Empire, and then you get cucked while you're in jail for your cucking to the American Empire. That is sad. Remember in 2014 when feminists producing this image, proving they knew exactly how to dress and knew what everything they were communicated, and that there was nothing confusing they weren't getting? Pepperidge Farms remembers. Okay, so those are the judgment lines. Prudish, old fashioned, proper, flirty, cheeky, provocative, asking for it, slut, whore. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I think there's a good understanding in society that this is the standard. Here we have a woman twerking over the tomb of her son, who's dead. Her son is gone, but she's still in good spirit. I don't know if the twerking invokes supernatural forces. This is so sad. Judge found out after 51 years of marriage that his sons are not his.
I have been married for 51 years. Got two sons, 42 and 40. Them deadbeats. I'm still supporting the little boogers. Needed to take a test, to see if any of us had a kidney good enough for my brother. Found out something interesting. They ain't my kids. They're somebody else's. Of course, the only good thing is, I know it's not my fault that those two idiots got dumped into this world. Hell, I thought they took after their mother. Instead, they take after the plumber or the postman or the milkman. They were milkmen.
Wow, that is sad. You bring up children to 40 years old and you learn that they are not yours. Stephen Colbert 8 years ago versus Stephen Colbert today.
I also want to apologize to you because I've said a few things about you over the years that are, in polite company, perhaps are unforgivable.
Almost
unforgivable.
And some nice things.
I don't remember saying anything nice. But anyway, I hope you'll accept my apology. And I also want to...
And now that's today. He totally lost his mind. Unbelievable.
I know how numb we've become, but it's not normal. No other candidate for the presidency has ever had to pause his campaign to defend himself in multiple courts. And I would like...
Presumption of guilt. It's like, you have to defend yourself in court.
To point out that in all seven of his cases, no one doubts that he did these things.
I do. I doubt... how is it that this guy is so disconnected that he thinks there's not a single person in America who questions the E. Jean Carroll story? He thinks there's not a single person in America who's like, hey, this E. Jean Carroll story was taken from a Law and Order skit. It's fake. It's totally fake. It's the mainstream belief in the Republican side.
We're just sitting around patiently waiting to find out if the wheels of justice will grind fast enough for there to be any consequences.
That's the definition of presumption of guilt. He's like, no one doubts it. We're just waiting for the justice to run its course. No. Most people on the Republican side believe that Trump is being persecuted rightfully. And I do. I also do. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, I think Elon has ruined Twitter. Replies are broken. I never see a tweet in response to a big account that is on the topic. It's always some random video or AI response, which is just a description of something. You are totally correct. There is a major problem with these inauthentic accounts. They're not necessarily bots. I don't know exactly what they are. They may be like, they may be bots. They may be Indian trained, people getting whipped so that they have to produce 50,000 replies a day. I don't know what they are, but there is lots of inauthentic interaction right now on Twitter. There's these big accounts that are reposting videos that you've seen on 10 other accounts. They're reposting the same thing. They're putting this little passive-aggressive, what's happening with the bird here? And then you have these passive-aggressive replies, Indians that are coming in and they're like, Have you considered investing your money in MVEC? With MVEC, I've made returns of 3x. And it's like, what the fuck? Ugh. And this is all done under Elon Musk, who was totally anti-bot. Elon Musk was like, I'm going to hunt the bots out. It's going to be $8 a month, and it's going to solve the bot problem. It didn't solve it. It's ridiculous how much inauthentic interaction I've seen. And at first I was trying to report all these things by saying inauthentic spam. But the spam has just gotten a little more subtle. Like, you can see that they're working on diversifying, and you can see that they're probably using AI to diversify their phrasing But it's all the same ID. It's all the same. Oh, yeah, invest in this crypto crap or whatever. You're totally correct. It's a big issue. This woman gave HIV to the guy because she didn't want to admit that she has HIV and warn him. Now he's learned from the hospital that he has HIV.
I just came from the doctor, and they said that I test positive for HIV. What's going on?
What?
I got my prescription and every... What's going on?
HIV.
Man, that's the same thing I said. What's going on? What's going on with you?
No,
what's going on with you?
I ain't
been with you. So you ain't been doing it?
No.
So we ain't been doing it?
No. I ain't been doing it. So really?
Oh my God.
Let me see that paper.
You gave me that. I know you the only person I've been messing with, man.
It's like two refills. So,
man, stop playing with me, man.
So you been at this. You on your second refill.
You did it. You gave it to me. Stop playing with me.
You on your second refill. Why is you playing with me?
Man, quit playing with me. You gave you. You know you did.
No,
I just left the doctor. Now I gotta.
And you see why I ain't been giving you none. So you have to go run off.
God, you wrong, man.
Yeah, it's not clear. Maybe he's setting this up and he's lying. Maybe he had HIV because she says it's on his second refill. So he must have known this for a couple of months, I guess, or a week or a day. I don't know what's the refill on HIV meds. Or maybe it's just her that had HIV, or maybe she didn't know it, or maybe she didn't know it. I have no clue what's happening. The entire territory of Avdiivka has already been captured by the Russian army. The Russian army has made their closing in of their V position, and they have pushed out all of the Ukrainian forces away from one of the last big cities between DPR and the Dnieper River. So that's Russia progressing on a massive front. You can see what Coach Red Pill had described. The closing in, a V-shaped formation around a position. They keep bombarding from all sides. There's no way they can defend. It becomes a meat grinder, and eventually the Ukrainians withdraw. So Avdiivka, one of the strongholds of the Ukrainian side that were allowing them access to DPR has been lost. I don't expect massive advances of the Russian army, but I did expect that the front lines would continue the tension, that the war of attrition would continue. And at this point, the Ukrainians are incapable of just pushing back, of just maintaining the Russians in place. So they continue their long-term war of attrition strategy. And it's working. Thomas Howard says, the rate of transmission is much higher for the receptive partner than the penetrative. Who knows what's going on with this guy and gal? Yeah, it could have gone both sides. I have no judgment over it. New guy says, modern military is about maneuver, not stand-up fights. Yes, I mean, modern military is about... strike and flee and drones popping out of nowhere. Modern military is not about maintaining a front line, but here you have two secondary powers who are willing to engage in a classical frontline battle. So what can you say? But you know, Russia is showing that at this traditional war style, supplemented with all the technology of airstrikes and drones, They're totally owning Ukraine. They're doing what they want with the Ukrainian side. They're probably maintaining these meat grinders just enough to exhaust. It's like, oh yeah, keep resupplying. We're just going to bombard your resupplies, bombard your new soldiers. And now we're down to the Down syndrome soldiers. Okay, this one, you can keep it. Please withdraw now. We have finished the meat grinder operation. Film says the girl's voice sounds like she's lying. The what was forced incredulity. Yeah, it's maybe that she's lying, or it may be forced incredulity. That's how it sounds. But it can also be that she was feeling filmed, and so she was very careful about what she was expressing. But it did sound like forced incredulity, absolutely. Fuck around and find out. Truckers warn that loads to New York City will be rejected starting Monday. Well, that's a guy who's like, hey, I'm a trucker. And I've spoken to 10 guys, and they're not going to drive into New York City. So they're trying to start a protest against Trump, against the judge for his finding of Trump liable for $400 million. These trucker things, I don't know if they work. For now, it's just 10 guys, so I don't know. Will this lead to a real tightening of commerce for New York? Will this put New York in trouble? It would have to be coordinated across all truckers. And there will always be a bunch of truckers willing to do the job for a little premium. So it's very hard. If all truckers have to self-punish and not make money, eventually one of them will want to do the travel. But it's interesting. If the truckers are able to mess up New York City in some way, I'm totally supporting this. Jan says, my boomer dad is proud of the cool weapons being sent to Ukraine. He was also proud over trying to bomb Iraq to democracy. Never mind the weapons of mass destruction lie and the ultimate fiasco of the whole operation. He will be there cheerleading on all the U.S. wars as long as he lives, unfortunately. Yeah, that is too bad. The boomers will have to die. The boomers will have to die. I'm not saying accelerate here. I'm just saying wait for it. It's going to happen. But they will have to die. They will not be retrained into decency. African man, this black guy understands the dependence on white people better than many white liberals. Fascinating.
Black leaders don't trust black leaders. Black leaders have no idea how to run an economy. They don't know who introduced what. Europeans introduced South Africa. South Africa was built by Europeans. You understand me? They built electricity, roads, railway, buildings you see in South Africa. This is why South Africa is the only country which was much richer than a lot of African countries. It's because of white people there. Because of white people. That's why black people are benefiting from things they didn't build in South Africa.
Oh, God, he gets it.
They didn't build those things. You understand? But they're benefiting. They have no idea that without white people there, the country will collapse straight into the drain. Straight into the drain. Because a lot of black people, they don't know, number one, you need science and technology to produce electricity. You need science and technology to produce clean water. You need science and technology to produce roads, railway, all these other things. White people are the ones who introduced it and are the ones running it.
I love how he's presenting white people. He's being honest. White people are a natural resource for these people. They're a natural resource. We have to keep them there. There's some magic happening between them and nature, such that if you keep white people around, you're going to have water. Yeah. Explain this to a couple of American states, I believe, because they seem to be understanding this less than the guy here. It's white magic. Yes. Last news item, meth, cocaine, heroin. These are packages you can buy in Vancouver, Canada. You can literally go to the store in Canada and legally buy these. Everything okay up there, Canada? We are worried about you. Meth, 100%, no cut, no buff, 3.5 grams. Cocaine, 100% cocaine, no cut, no buff, 3.5 grams. Heroin, deacetylmorphine, about 40%. Caffeine, 60%, 3.5 grams. Warning, this box contains heroin, which is a highly addictive substance. There's a community note that says these drugs are not legal to buy. The company that produced them was raided by Vancouver Police Department, and the co-founders were arrested. They were operating illegally. Okay, so maybe it's not legal, but it was available for distribution at some point. Interesting community note. Interesting that they are that professional. I mean, there's little boxes and all. They look like a pack of cigarettes. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for being here. And I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.